Last time we started discussing Bishul B'Shabbos, and we talked about the idea of Bishul Achar Bishul. Is there a din of Bishul Achar Bishul? Once you've cooked something, can you violate the Malacha D'Oraisa Bishul? So we said that the Mishnah claims in Shabbos that ain't Bishul Achar Bishul B'Davar Yavish. Solid food, there's no Bishul Achar Bishul. Once you were Misakein, once you created the food, it's already Mavushul, then ain't Bishul Achar Bishul. You cooked up the potato kugel or the chicken. There's no liquid, no significant gravy in the chicken, then you've done the bishul already. Ein bishul achar bishul. But bedavar lach is a machlokas harishon. And we discussed that at great length. Machlokas harishon about yesh bishul achar bishul bedavar lach. What's it based on? What the nafkamina is. The fact is, there is one situation where the rishonim have a debate whether there might be bishul achar bishul even bedavar yavish. What do I mean? Not exactly bishul achar bishul, but rather, even if I've already prepared the item for achila, it's roy lachil, through some process, but now I want to do a different process to it. Let's say I baked something, I baked bread, and now I want to put the bread into boiling soup, a klirishon of soup. Do we say yesh bishul achar afia? Well, maybe we should say, once you had the afia, once it's roy lachila, then ein bishul achar bishul. It's the same as ein bishul achar bishul. Right? Once it's already roy lachila, then there is no further bishul. Do I say, no, there's a rule that ein bishul achar bishul. But if my first process was not bishul, then maybe there should be bishul after that. Do we say yesh bishul achar afia? Maybe yesh bishul achar tzlia. Right? I roasted first, now I want to cook. Cooking is not the same as roasting. Roasting means over the fire. Cooking means in a liquid medium. It's different. So maybe I should say that yesh bishul achar afia, yesh bishul achar tzlia. Maybe I should say, no, once I've already been misakin the item, then there's no idea of bishul. So this is a major machlokas in the Rishonim. Mordechai Masechta Shabbos quotes the Rebbe Lezer Mimetz, who has his famous chiddush that yesh bishul achar afia. There's a whole discussion what the rayas are back and forth. We're not going to get into the rayas. But that's the Rebbe Lezer Mimetz, the Sefer Yireyim. That's his chumer, that yesh bishul achar afia v'achar tzlia. That even if you've already baked the bread, it's roy lachila, but you can't cook it. You can violate the issa d'oraisa of bishul if you're going to cook it after the afia. The Rav Yod disagrees, and he says no. That just like ein bishul achar bishul, ein bishul achar afia as well. And of course, the machlokas rishonim seems to be focused on the question as to what the din of ein bishul achar bishul really means. Is the pshat that once I've been misakin the ochel, it's roy lachila, I've been machshe the ochel lachila, then there is no bishul? Because I'm not making it roy lachila with the second process. It was roy lachila beforehand. Is the pshat that ein bishul achar bishul because the item is already roy lachila? Or no, is the pshat that ein bishul achar bishul b'davar yavish that you've already been misakein the ochel, and by being mevashel it again, you're not being misakein it any better. You're not improving the item anymore. If I take the first approach, then lechora ein bishul achar afia. I'm not making it any more roy lachila by being mevashelet after the afiyah. So if the whole idea is bishul is to make it roy lachila, if the definition of bishul is to make it roy lachila, so then after it's roy lachila, improving it in any other way is not going to be bishul. Ain't bishul achar bishul, because we define bishul on Shabbos as making it roy lachila. So I can't make it roy lachila anymore once it's roy lachila. But if I define bishul b'Shabbos as being a tikkun ha'ochel, improving the item, so then perhaps we could say that even if I've already been misakin the ochel and it's roi lachila, but I can be misakin it in a different way. I can improve it in a different form. I had the afiyah, now I'm going to have a bishul. It's a further tikkun. Now it's afui and it's mavushal. There are a number of tikkunim here. So if I hold the bishul, it means tikkun ha'ochel, so then perhaps yesh bishul achar afiyah, because I'm adding an extra tikkun to the item. How do we paskin l'maisa? It's a major discussion in the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch actually quotes the Yesh Mishomer, Rebbe Lezer Mimetz, that Yesh Bishul Achar Afir. He says there is such a shita. The Ramah says some are mekel, some are not, but that shita is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. What's the real relevance of this shita for us? Most people are not going to be putting bread into a kli rishon. You have a pot of soup on the fire, you're not going to be putting the bread into the kli rishon. The kli that's actually cooking on the fire. So what's the relevance of this shita? Before we understand the relevance, we have to discuss something else. And that is that Bishul can take place not only in a Kli Rishon, but it can also take place in a Kli Shein. Right? You can also be putting hot liquids into a Kli Shein. Well, is there Bishul in a Kli Shein? Is there no Bishul in a Kli Shein? That's probably more of a likely place that you'll be putting the bread. Not into the Kli Rishon, into the actual pot that's boiling in the fire, but rather into a bowl of soup. So we have to discuss, what's the status of a Kli Shein? You could have Yatso lettuce bow. You can have a liquid of Yatso lettuce bow in a Kli Shein. Is there Bishul in a Kli Shein or no Bishul in a Kli Shein? We first have to discuss that, and then we can plug it back to Bishul Achar Afia if we put the bread into the Kli Shein. So what taka is the din of a Kli Shein? So the Gemara in Shabbos and that Memah Mebe says that Kli Sheini Eina Mavasha. The Gemara distinguishes between Kli Rishon and Kli Shein. Kli Rishon means the first Kli. That's the Kli that you actually cook on the fire. Right? That it was connected to the actual source of heat. The Kli Sheini is removed. That means that you poured out from the Kli Rishon into the Kli Sheini, into the second Kli. That has the status of a Kli Sheini. And the Gemara says the Kli Sheini Eino Mavasha. It's not Mavasha. So Tosis and Shabbos ask the famous question. Monafshach, if it's Yatso lettuce bow, if the liquid in the Kli Sheini is Yatso lettuce bow, it's between 110 and 160 degrees. We said there are different sheets as to what Yatso lettuce bow means. So if it's Yatso lettuce bow, then it should be Mavashal even in a Kli Sheini. And if it's not Yatso lettuce bow, then it shouldn't be Mavashal even in a Kli Rishon. So what kind of a strange idea is this? The Gemara has a principle. The Kli Sheini ainu mevashel, it should be a function of the heat of the liquid inside the Kli Sheini. If it's Yatzel lettuce, but it should be mevashel even in a Kli Sheini, because that heat, the heat of the liquid, should be enough to be able to be mevashel. And if it's not Yatzel lettuce, but then even in a Kli Rishon, it shouldn't be mevashel. What's going on over here? It says Tois is a fundamental yisod. But the difference between Kli Rishon and Kli Sheini is that Kli Rishon, since the Kli is on the fire, the defunos are mechalamos. The defunos, the walls of the Kli, are hot, so they keep the heat of the item, they keep the heat of the food, the liquid inside hot for a longer period of time. And that's why the Kli Rishon is Mevasha. The funos mechamamos, the funos that are on the fire are hot, and they heat the items that are placed inside of it, and that's why the Kli Rishon is going to be Mevasha. But in a Kli Sheini, the defanos are holchosu miskareros. The defanos are getting cooled off because they're not exposed directly to the heat. You put something hot inside the Kli Sheini, but the walls of the Kli Sheini are not mechamamos. They're actually makaros. They cool down whatever is inside. So therefore, even though it's Yatso lettuce bow, Kli Sheini is not going to be mevasha. That's what Taisa says. That the chiluk between Kli Rishon and Kli Sheini is that Kli Rishon and defanos are mechamamos, because they're exposed directly to the heat, as opposed to Kli Sheini, with the funos on makaro, since they're not exposed directly to the heat. It sounds like a very nice chiluk, a very nice distinction. The question is, how do they answer anything? The question still comes back. What does it matter if the funos on makaros, mechamos? The reality is, if it's yatso lettuce bow, if the liquid is yatso lettuce bow, I put something into the liquid, and it's yatso lettuce bow, it's going to be mavasha. So why should it matter that the funos are directly exposed to the heat or not directly exposed to the heat? What does it matter? So some of the poskim want to suggest the following idea. Shimon Eider, who wrote a sefer, Hilcha Shabbos, one of the original Hebrew Sfarim with footnotes on the bottom, he suggests this idea, and I later heard Rabbi Shechter quoted this from the Rav, that the yesod of Tosfos is that it's all a question of darka bekach. Since the walls of the Kli Rishon are mechamamos, it's normal to cook in the Kli Rishon. Normal to cook in the Kli Rishon. So if it's Yatso lettuce bow, since it's dark of a kind to cook in the Kli Rishon, Minat Torah, there's going to be Bishul B'Shabbos in the Kli Rishon. If it's not Yatso lettuce bow in the Kli Rishon, so it doesn't matter that it's dark of a kind to cook in the Kli Rishon, it's not called the Kli Rishon anymore if it's not Yatso lettuce bow, so then there's no Bishul. But as long as it's Yatso lettuce bow, since it's dark of a kind to cook in the Kli Rishon, you'll violate the Issur Bishul Daraisa if you put something in the Kli Rishon when it's Yatso lettuce bow. What Tosis is saying is that since in the Kli Sheini the defanos are makaros, it's not darko bakach klal. It's not darko bakach at all to cook in the Kli Sheini. It's not a normal thing to do. It's not a normal thing to do. So since it's not a normal thing to do, Chazal would not go in a Kli Sheini before. This is a shinu gum. It's not just a regular din of shinu that we say is still an issur d'rabban. No, Chazal said that cooking in a Kli Sheini is just not normal. People don't do that. You cook in a Kli Rishon. You're not going to cook in something that's off the fire. So even if it's not so lettuce bowl, and physically the item that you put in there is going to be changed to some extent, it doesn't matter. It's ein darka b'kach klal, so Chazal weren't gozer on such an action. That's why it's not called bishul in a cliche. Tosus is simply giving us a simen ladavri. He's giving us a reason why bishul and a kli rishon is darka b'kach, and bishul and a kli sheni is not darka b'kach. In a kli rishon, the funas mechamos, and in a kli sheni, you don't have such an idea. The funas are only makaros, and the kli sheni, it's not darka b'kach klal to cook in the kli sheni. And that's why the chachamim were not gozer in a kli sheni. Okay, this is the basic distinction between kli rishon and kli sheni. The Gemara tells us that there are exceptions to the rule of the klisheni. There is a circumstance where there could be bishul even in a klisheni. What is that? What's that case? That's called kale habishul. There are certain substances that get cooked very, very easily. The Gemara has a few examples. The Mishnah talks about types of fish, certain salty fish that somehow get cooked very quickly, very easily. Gemara says, according to one opinion, melach, salt, also can be misbash of a klisheni because it's kali abish, it's very easy for it to get cooked. Gemara doesn't talk about too many examples of this, but at least the case of the fish, certain types of fish, and the salt, these are kali abishal, and even though we say klisheni and mavashal, but we're afraid that the klisheni is going to be mavashal the kali abishal. Comes the Mishnah Berurah and has a major yisodia. The Mishnah Berurah in Siman Shin Yud Ches of Kotan Mem Beis says that since we don't know what's called kali abishal and what's not, what should be machmir, not to put any item that has not been cooked previously, one should not put that item into a klisheni if it's yatso letters bone to klisheni. It's the Mishnah Berurah's yisod. If the item has been cooked, then there's no problem. But if the item has not been cooked previously, Zokta Mishnah Berurah, because we don't know what Kali Abishal are, what's included in the category of Kali Abishal, don't put anything that hasn't been cooked yet into a klisheni if it's yatso letters bone to klisheni. Because maybe it's Kali Abishal, and Kali Abishal on is bashal in a klisheni. Says the Shulchan Aruch, there in Simen Shin Yud Chasif A, that since the Rebbe Lezer demands the Yesh Mishal Mar holds the Yesh Bishal Achar Afiyah, there are those who are machmir not to put bread into a klisheni. You want to put a little bread into your soup? You might put some matzah into your soup. The matzah has been baked, but it hasn't been cooked. Now you want to put your matzah into the soup. You want to put a little bread into the soup. Dr. Shulchan Aruch, if you're machmir to assume that yesh bishul achar afiyah, then you shouldn't put the bread or the matzah into a klisheni, because it might be kale habishul, right? And it can be might be misbashul even in a klisheni. Right? The Shulchan Aruch seems to be choshesh for two things over here, right? That first of all, Rebbe Lezer Mimetz holds yesh bishul achar afiyah, and secondly, according to that shita, you shouldn't even put the bread into the klisheni because maybe the bread is kali abishal and it'll be misbashal the klisheni. So to that, the Ramah quotes that there are those who are cholik for different reasons. He says there are some who are megil to put the pas into the klisheni. He says there are some who are megil to put the pas even to a klisheni. Well, what does that mean? It's poshut. He's saying some are megil to put the bread into the klisheni. Why? Because they hold that even if yesh bishal achar afiyah, but the bread, we don't have to be choshish that it's kali abishal, so putting it into a klisheni is not a problem. Some are making it to put it into a klisheni. Why? Because they hold a mishal achar afir. But the Shulchan Aruch is machmir, and the Ramah says the minig is to be machmir. The minig is to be machmir like the Shulchan Aruch, not to put bread into the klisheni, because we're afraid, first of all, Reb Lezer Mimetz is correct, yesh mishal achar afir. Secondly, maybe the bread is called kali abishal, it will be misbashal even in a klisheni. That's the source of the chumrah. Not to put the bread into the soup, into the klisheni, unless you know it's not yatso lettuce bowl, right? It's not yatso lettuce bowl that it's mutter to do, but if it's yatso lettuce bowl, then the chorot should be a problem. Should be a problem. Yeah. Oh, that's why I said should. Very good, Jeff. Very good. Should be a problem. But others point out that the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Prima Godin, who says that All that we're talking about in klisheni is dafka klisheni, not klishlishi. A third kli. If you turn it into a third kli, you pour from the klisheni into the klishlishi, then it could be that kali abishal is not a problem anymore. Right? The problem of kali abishal being misbashal with klisheni, that might only be true in the klisheni, but not in a klishlishi. So after prima godin, in a klishlishi, you could be mekel, even if it's yatsa lettuce bow, there's no problem of kali abishal. The Chazon Ish is not so convinced, but that's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Prima Gadin. So according to the Prima Gadin, if we are to assume that a ladle is viewed as a separate kli, you use a ladle to scoop out from the pot on the fire from the kli rishon, so it turns out that your bowl might be considered a kli shlishi. So then there might be a heter to put the bread or the matzah directly into the soup bowl, even if it's yatzo lettuce bowl in the soup bowl, because if that's viewed as a kli shlishi, then l'kuliyam, there's no bishul in a kli shlishi, at least according to the Prima Gadin, right? The kuliyam is no bishul in a kli shlishi, even by kali abishul. Right? Because the problem of kali abishul might only be in a kli sheni, not in a kli shlishi. Yes? What do you mean? If it's the fourth bowl, then the ladle becomes hot? So I think they say that as long as you keep on taking the ladle out of the kli rishon, then it's exposed to the air, it's not going to have a status of a kli rishon. It doesn't become part of the rishon. If you leave the ladle, let's say you ladle out your first bowl, you scoop out your first bowl, and you leave the ladle inside the soup cauldron, the soup urn, and you serve that bowl, then you come back. Oh, that might be a problem, because then the ladle might take on the status of the pot. But if the person who's scooping out the soup is scooping, putting it in, then scooping back in, it could be that since you keep on exposing the ladle to the air, it might not take on the status of a kli rishon. Yes?
If a ladle, you don't cook in a ladle, so what, how could it ever become the status of a kli rishon? I mean, what we said before,
because since the kli rishon is on the, but if the kli rishon is on the fire, if you leave the ladle in the kli rishon until, as the poskim say, until it's like bubbling in the ladle, then the ladle is like a shtick pot, right? It becomes a chelik of the pot. It's not separate. The whole reason why the ladle is viewed as a klisheni is because what the funos makaros, the walls of the ladle are not exposed directly to the heat. So just putting it into the pot, that exposes it to the heat just a little bit. It's not really on the fire, so it has a bit of a klisheni. But if you leave it in the pot, then it might take on the status of a kli rishon, and that would be a problem. You don't leave it in the pot, then maybe the ladle still has the status of a klisheni, and then when you pour it into the soup bowl, then the soup bowl has the status of a klishlishi. So at least according to the Prima Gadin, if the problem of kali abishal doesn't apply in a klishlishi, then you might have a solution to your problem. Of course, the question is, but why should I distinguish between klisheni and klishlishi? The Chazon Ish is right. Well, what's the chiluk? Chazon Ish says, if it's kali abishal, so kali abishal means that if as long as it's yatzo lettuce bowl, the kali abishal can be cooked. So does it matter if it's a kli sheni or a kli shlishi? It's yatzo lettuce bowl, so it should be able to be cooked. What's the answer? Same answer as before. What's the answer?
The Gemara
doesn't mention a kli shlishi, but what's the principle? The principle is that if it's yatzo lettuce bowl, then kali abishal can be misbashal even in a kli sheni. So if that's true in a kli sheni, it should be true in a kli shlishi. If it's yatzo lettuce bowl, kli shlishi, Kali Abishal should be able to be Mizbasha. What's the answer? Darko Bekach, exactly, Gedalia. Rabbi Willie wanted to suggest, I think this is printed in one of his articles, maybe one of his Sfarim. Rabbi Willie Amol, many years ago, when he gave the Bishal Chaburis to the Smicha program, he used to say over, that here's what the answer is, Darko Bekach. That the whole idea is, look, klisheni itself we don't understand. Why should we say klisheni ainu mevashel? If it's yatzo, let us burn the klisheni, then it will be Mizbashal. It will produce a change in the item. The answer is no, but it's not darka b'kach klal. It's such a shina gomer, the chazal when I goes there on cliche. So apparently what the Gemara is saying is that kali abishal, not only can they be misbashel in a cliche, but the reason why there's an issa to put kali abishal to a cliche is because it's darka b'kach to be misbashel kali abishal in a cliche. Because they can be misbashel easily in a cliche. So it's normal. It's normal to do such a thing. But efshir, possible that in a kli shlishi that's so far removed, no one's going to put kali abishal into the kli shlishi. They'll try to put it at least into the kli sheni. Not going to put it into the kli rishon. They don't need to put it into the kli rishon. But they're not going to put the kali abishal in something that's so far removed from the kli rishon. So darko b'kach of kali abishal is one step removed from every other item. So it's darko b'kach to put kali abishal into kli sheini. That's why there's an iser. But since kli shlishi is so ain darko b'kach to put kali abishal into, so just like regular items you can put into the kli sheini, you'll be able to put the kali abishal into the kli shlishi. Yes. Right, so that's the question. If the remnants of soup still is yatzo lettuce bowl, and it could be that if you're ladling quickly, the ladle is still very hot, so the remnants of the soup is yatzo lettuce bowl. So then, sorry? They're not in a klirishon. So you're saying just taking something, if you have something in a cliche that's yatzo lettuce bowl, what's the hetter to put it back into the klirishon? That's what you're saying.
Sure.
How can I put it back?
Or it's not.
I'm suggesting that apparently we're assuming that if the soup is yatza lettuce bowl on the ladle still, so then you're not really cooking the liquid anymore. What are you doing? Mitzad tikkun, you're not cooking it anymore because it's already soup. Mitzad the chimum, it's still yatza lettuce bowl, so you're not cooking it up to yatza lettuce bowl. So that's why there's no problem with it. There's no bishul acha bishul as long as it's yatza lettuce bowl on the ladle itself. Yes.
And then let's say, like, you're going for seconds and already cooled down tonight, that's about as well. Something you have to
do. That's a big problem. Right, that would relate to the shaila that we had earlier. Why do we say yesh bishlach avishal v'davelach? If you hold, like, the chazanish, that it's a chumrah, that osi lechlufe, people might confuse this with something that hasn't been cooked. So the chazanish said, we don't care about the drops. Remember, right? So if you take the Chazanish's approach, if you only have drops, not a lot left over in the ladle, but just, you know, the ladle itself is wet. Just because it's wet, that wouldn't be a problem. But if you take the Mogen Avraham's approach, so even if it's wet a little bit, you have to dry off the ladle before you're going to put it back. It's no different than the glass of tea. Right? You had a cup of tea, and you finished the tea, but you have a few drops remaining. So do you have to dry it or not? That depends on how we understand the Chumer of Yesh Bishlach HaBishul B'Davalach. Yeah?
Is someone allowed to take a pot of soup off the fire?
What's the problem with taking a pot of soup?
No, I'm just saying because...
to put it back onto the fire?
No, just to take it off and that's it. That's what
many people do, right? In fact, we might talk about you're not allowed to stir it when it's still in the fire. We don't like to stir things out of the... to scoop out of the pot when it's still in the fire because we're afraid something might not be completely cooked and stirring might be considered bishul. So actually the best way to serve soup is to take it off the fire. If you want to put the soup back on the fire, then make sure that someone is holding on to the pot because if not, you might not be able to put it back on the fire. Why not? Stay tuned. We have to talk about that too. Okay? But there's a lot here as we see. Yes.
But then for Tosos, then why do we call this the Kli Rishon, like that the walls are continuing to heat the...
Because the idea is, the Kli Rishon is what was exposed directly from fire. Even if it's not Al-Gabe Ha'esh right now, it still might have the status of a Kli Rishon. At least on a Drabanan level, it might have a status of a Kli Rishon even after it's off the fire. The Shiloh, that's Drabanan, Daraisa, but it still has the status of a Kli Rishon because that was the Kli that was actually exposed to the fire. Yes?
But if you leave it in the pot, it's going to have the status of a Kli Rishon. But it's not directly on the fire. But will the pot be considered a separation at all?
No. So that's why I said, if you leave the ladle in the pot long enough that now it's like bubbling inside the ladle. Right? So the ladle is like inside the soup. So just like the soup is viewed as coming from a Kli Rishon, the ladle will also be viewed as coming from a Kli Rishon because it's in that pot that's a Kli Rishon that's on the fire.